Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Movement Radio. I am Chip Hazard.
I am Talon Williams.
I'm hungry.
Of course. Ladies and gentlemen, it is done. We are down to the final four teams. It's championship weekend here on Movement Radio for Are You Ready for Some Football? The AFC and the NFC championship games will be decided. But before we get into that, let's go over what happened in the divisional round. How did you guys ultimately feel?
Well, I feel like the Bills were cheated again, as always.
Yeah.
I
mean, I knew it was going to – I knew they were going to win somehow, but I called the Chiefs to win. I said by hook or crook, mostly crook, but
yeah,
it is what it is.
I think game of the week, of the four games that we had last week, I think the Bucks-Lions game was the best game.
That was a very good game. Although the Packers 49ers game got a little tight there in the very end of it. So, I mean, we almost had a number seven beating a number one. So that brought the excitement level up a little bit. But let's kick it off with the first game, the first Saturday game between the Baltimore Ravens and the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans, they put up a great effort in the first half. You know, it was 10-10 going into halftime, and then Baltimore, you know, just ran them up, you know, 34-10 was your final score. CJ Stroud, only 175 yards. They couldn't really get a rhythm going in the second half. And Baltimore just, you know, Lamar Jackson not only threw for 150 and two touchdowns, but he also ran for 100 and got two touchdowns. Isaiah Likely and Nohans Aguilar with a touchdown, believe it or not. But yeah, I mean, this game, like, when it was 10-10 at the half, I honestly truly thought, like, yo, maybe Houston could pull an upset, you know. And then it kind of seemed like they were still in it in the third, and then the fourth quarter came, and it was almost like they just – Baltimore just took over. Chip, I think I know the answer to this question. Ultimately, how do you feel about this?
I'm super proud of what the Texans have done this year. They exceeded everybody's expectations. And when I say everybody, I mean absolutely everybody. Going into the season, they were projected to be the worst team in the NFL. And not only did they make it to the playoffs, they won a playoff game.
Yep.
With a rookie head coach, a rookie quarterback, a rookie offensive coordinator, a rookie defensive end in Will Anderson Jr. I mean, the team is poised for the future. I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine earlier, and I think it comes down to the Texans and the Lions on who had the best draft of this season. And I think it really is a 1A, 1B of rookies in between the Texans and the Lions.
They definitely have, like, I mean, at least for the foreseeable future, at least over the next 4 or 5 years, the Texans could be a very, very dangerous team.
Well, they don't need to sleep the Lions as well.
Right, but I'm just speaking in terms of this game between the Texans and the Ravens.
Yeah.
Trust me, we're going to talk about the Lions here in a little bit. Roger, go ahead, Rod. Oh, go ahead, Chip.
I was going to say, you know, the first half, it really – I think what hurt us is the fact that D'Amico changed his play calling style for this particular game. He even said in the post game interview that he changed the way he was calling plays. He went to more of a blitz style than what they had been playing all season. Which is something you really have to do with the tandem of running backs that the Ravens have. You know, they essentially have three running backs.
Essentially, yeah. Do you think, okay, I'll ask you, being the Texans fan, do you think that was a critical error on behalf of D'Amico Ryans? Should he have stuck with his original formula?
I mean, 6-1, half dozen in the other. I mean, hindsight being 20/20, you can say, yes, he should have. But in the moment, you know, in that first half, the play calling was working. They're getting pressure on Lamar. They were making him make errors. They were stuffing the run. You know, I think what ultimately it came down to is the Ravens leaned on their run game with their three running backs, and it's proven year after year after year that when you lean on the running game, it wears down defenses.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. Roger,
congrats to the Ravens for pulling out the win.
Yeah. Roger, what about you, Bubba?
I mean, first half of the game was really good. And then it sort of got a little out of hand just a bit. sorry. But no, to be honest, like the change at halftime wasn't the right call. We can say that now, obviously, but like Chip was saying, in that moment, it was probably the thing to do. It just got out of hand. The run game was just too strong, and then Lamar was able to open up and do what he does best.
Yes.
I mean, he makes people second guess, even triple guess what he's going to do with that ability of his.
Yeah. He's probably
he's a little quarterback there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's probably the most dangerous quarterback left in the playoffs right now. Because obviously people are going to say, well, what about Patrick Mahomes? Like, look, I don't know. The only reason why I think people would pick Mahomes over Lamar right now would probably be because of just the playoff experience and the experience playing in the AFC Championship games, probably. As far as all the intangibles go, I mean, you'd still lean more toward Lamar Jackson, to be honest. But, you know, that being said, we are going to move on to the second Saturday night game, a game between the San Francisco 49ers and the Green Bay Packers. San Francisco pulled away with a victory last second, come from behind victory, 24-21. Jordan Love, 194 and two touchdowns, but he did throw two interceptions. Brock Purdy, 252 and a touchdown. Christian McCaffrey ran for 98 yards and two touchdowns on the day. George Kittle with a touchdown of his own. The Packers didn't do too shabby. At one point, I honestly thought the Packers were going to win this game, like in the third quarter. But then, you know, San Francisco came back and, made a couple of good key adjustments and made the plays that they needed to make. And, you know, San Francisco came out with a victory. How do you guys ultimately feel about this win?
I predicted the 49ers. Well, we all predicted the 49ers to win this one. It was a lot closer than what I thought it was. And why I hate that so much is it just makes Chad correct on Jordan Love.
No, it doesn't. Lions still made it further.
That's true. The Lions didn't make it further.
But, pretty much like Chip said, we all predicted this, but too much of a close game. San Francisco, I don't know why, when Debo goes down, Brock Purdy forgets how to throw the ball.
And the report right now, as of this recording right now, Debo is out for the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Sure, things could change, I guess, you know, over the course of the week, but we'll certainly see what happens. This one's pretty self-explanatory. We all kind of had a feeling that the 49ers, again, it was a very close game, and kudos to the 49ers for making them halftime adjustments. But moving on to the – why the hell did it go back that far? Okay, here we go. Moving on to the Sunday afternoon game, first one, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Detroit Lions. Detroit 31 and the Buccaneers 23. It was a really good, close game. Really, the game was tied going into the fourth quarter. And I want to give Baker Mayfield his flowers, man. 349 with three touchdowns on the day. Did throw those two interceptions. Mike Evans, eight receptions for 147 yards and a touchdown on the day. He is going into free agents, but has said that he would love to come back to Tampa if they're willing to re-sign him. Jared Goff, didn't have as good a game as Baker, 287 and two touchdowns on the day. Jahmyr Gibb, 74 yards and a touchdown run. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 8 for 77 and a touchdown. Yeah, I mean, this was a very, very – like what Chip said earlier, I think that this game was probably game – between the four, it was probably the best of the week. How'd you guys ultimately feel about Detroit Tampa Bay.
I mean, I thought it was an amazing game. It really – Baker came out and shut the doubters up of whether he could be a good quarterback or not. You know, he's actually won – Baker has won more playoff games than the Cleveland Browns have.
Yeah, right.
I mean, and I think he earned himself a long-term contract there in Tampa Bay. I think that team is set up for him.
Yeah.
And I think they can build around Baker and make it, you know, to the playoffs for the next several years. And possibly, I'm not saying that they will, but they could possibly vie for a Super Bowl with this team.
It's a possibility. What about you, Raj?
I mean, definitely the game of the week and just overall great football in general. I mean, Chip and I have always said that Baker's always is doubted. They always said that he was the issue in Cleveland, which is not true. We know he's not the issue. He brings winning mentality in right where he is. He proved it with Tampa Bay. Did he have a great record? No, they still had a winning record and they went to the playoffs. So,
yeah, you know.
No, but not only that, I mean, this game just also sort of exposed the issue that Detroit's had all season that not a lot of people have exposed correctly, and that's that weak secondary, long bombing it. Detroit has a great front seven, but their back is not that good, and just throw a ball out there.
And it's also it was that front seven that made that final knife through the heart interception at the very end of the game. And Aiden Hutchinson, man, kudos to him too.
Does not get enough credit.
He played his ass off in this game, dude.
The man does not get enough credit.
He don't, man. He really don't. And I'm so looking forward to 49ers and the Lions. I'm really, really looking forward to it. But before we get to that, before we get to those, let's get to the final game of the week. Pause real quick.
Go.
All right, so moving on to the last game, the Sunday night game between the Chiefs and the Bills. Ah, the Chiefs and the Bills. The Chiefs, unfortunately, won this game 27-24. The game was back and forth. They had five lead changes in this game, but you could tell both teams really did want it. Patrick Mahomes was 215 in terms of passing yards, two touchdowns on the day. Isaiah Pacheco ran his ass off, 97 yards and a touchdown. Travis Kelce did Travis Kelce things, 5 for 75 and two touchdowns on the day. Josh Allen only 186 yards and a touchdown, but he also ran for 72 yards and got two touchdowns. Khalil Shakir, 7 receptions, 44 yards and a touchdown. He was the main weapon. Stephon Diggs only 3 receptions. 21 yards on 8 targets. It's like where did Stephon Diggs go when he was supposed to be that guy? And then they had an opportunity to tie the game, and then Tyler Bass whiffed it right. It happens. You know, it was reminiscent of when the Bills lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl, when it was wide right, and the Giants ended up winning 20-19. Overall, how did you guys ultimately feel about the Bills losing yet again to the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs?
I didn't watch this game. 100%. I absolutely despise the Kansas City Chiefs. I despise Patrick Mahomes. I don't watch their games.
Roger, so what about you, man?
So you don't watch Super Bowls, is what you're saying?
Not unless my wife invites people over and they want to watch it. Like I just don't. I absolutely despise Patrick Mahomes. And don't watch. I refuse to watch his crybaby ass play.
I said it a couple of weeks ago and I'll say it again. Like I'm sick of Kansas City, man. And that might be a hater speech or whatever, but like
you can call me a hater all you want.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Like I'm sick and tired of Kansas City, dude. Like to me, and I said it a couple weeks ago, they are the new New England Patriots. When New England, that little length of time between 2001 and 2004 when they won 3 out of 4 championships, and everybody out of nowhere, like no one gave a damn about New England Patriots, and then you got all these bandwagons like, oh yeah, Tom Brady's a GOAT. Like, when the hell did you start liking football? Who are you? You know, like, it's those type of people, the bandwagoners, you know who they are. But yeah, it just, and I've heard so many different shows on the various networks, blame Josh Allen for not stepping up in the big moment. How do you guys feel when you hear somebody say something like that, what do you initially think?
It's not his fault that Stephon Diggs decides not to be the fucking playmaker.
Right?
Literally dropped an open touchdown to start off, what, the fourth quarter or something like that?
It was the fourth quarter, yeah.
Yeah.
Could have given them the lead.
The ball literally legit went between his forearms. Yeah. He was like this, looking this way, and they went.
Yeah.
All you have to do, motherfucker. All you have to do, why are you like this? Why are you trying to catch like this? Put your hands together.
Yeah.
Never want to hear this man complain about a bigger contract because he's the best playmaker. He ain't getting the ball thrown to him. Nothing. That man had – Josh Allen was forcing the ball to him, even double coverage, just to give him the attempt to catch the ball and make something out of it.
Yeah. Shakir was the only one that actually wanted to step up,
Dawson Knox and Kincaid.
Kincaid, yeah. They did really good. You know,
Kincaid fell on his fucking neck.
Bro, that was a scary thing, dude. Ugh. That was a bad one.
And then he came back like 4 plays later.
Right. Tough motherfucker though. Yeah, man, I'm just so sick of Kansas City. I'm really hoping and praying that the Ravens do win against Kansas City. So at least we'll have at least part of the predicted Super Bowl with the Ravens, and I'm, you know, which we'll get
it's
into
gonna the be Ravens 49ers, all right?
Oh, we already knew that. We knew that at the start of the year.
Well, but here's the thing. About Kansas City's defense.
Go ahead.
They're not good against the run.
Mm-hmm.
What does the Ravens have?
Two incredible running backs and a quarterback that can throw and run like a fucking running back.
They have 3 incredible running backs, one that can make passes.
Yeah. Tomato, tomato. But yeah, so that is the review of the divisional round. Before we get into the divisional round, any news on that you guys want to discuss? Any coaching news? Anything? I did see that the Philadelphia Eagles did fire Brian Johnson, offensive coordinator. Do you guys feel like that was warranted?
I mean, their offense was not clicking at all. So yeah,
yeah. I mean, yeah, the only real coaching situations that happened was that, and then the Titans hiring the Bengals offensive coordinator as their new head coach.
Yeah.
Is that the only stuff? I thought there was something else.
Is this his first head coaching gig?
Well, probably.
That's, I don't know. I would have much rather have stuck with Mike Vrabel, but you know. You know, it is what it is. It had to have been internal the way that worked out. I'm looking through to see if there's anything else. Okay, yes, the Brian Johnson situation.
That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, Belichick has had 2 interviews with the Ravens. Bobby Slowick has
with the Ravens
or with the Falcons. Oh, birds, man. Birds. Belichick's had 2 interviews with the Falcons. Bobby Slowick had an interview with the Commanders and one with the Falcons. He's got another one scheduled for each of those teams. But yeah, really, other than that, nothing major has happened.
The Jaguars hired the Falcons defensive coordinator
as their new defensive coordinator.
Yeah, as their new defensive coordinator, Ryan Nielsen.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah,
but yeah, I think that's about it.
As far as
Ron Rivera's trying to find another job.
Yeah,
isn't he interviewing with the Eagles?
Their
defensive coordinator?
Yeah. But have y'all seen that? There's no talk about the Washington team looking for a new head coach yet because They already got their head coach.
Yeah, they got Eric B.
Yeah, well, I was like,
yeah, they got Eric B.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. They did interview Bobby Slowick, and he's scheduled for a second interview for their head coaching position.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Eric B. I think it should be Eric B. And maybe that's my biases showing, because I want to keep Bobby Slowick as our offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
Chad and I actually had a short conversation earlier this week about thinking that teams should actually lock down their offensive coordinators for a longer period of time rather than just these, you know, one-year contracts that they get.
Well, remember, that's the first person they blame if the team's not going somewhere, so that's why you give them such short contracts.
Exactly. Yeah. I do, and then I'm happy that we talked about it last. I think we talked about it last week. If we didn't, then you know the Las Vegas Raiders did officially say that they are going to hire Antonio Pierce as their new head coach, which I think is going to make all the difference in the world. I'm telling you, man, the Raiders could be a team to look out for next year. Man, if they have a good draft class and they can get the right pieces, if he could somehow bring some of them free agents to. Vegas. I mean, Vegas is a hot spot right now, man.
Yeah, because it's 105 degrees all the time.
I'm just saying. I mean, the hell, they play indoors. It ain't like you can't cut the AC on. I mean, you know. But
you've been in a stadium. Don't matter how much AC they have. Bitch, it's hot. Anyway, when it's hot outside, it's hot inside.
Yes. That's true. All right. Well, moving on from there, let's look at the upcoming draft, the 2024 NFL draft. We already know who the top 18 teams are. We've already discussed that several times. We do know that the other six, the wild card teams, have been placed. And now for the divisional round losers, at number 25, Green Bay Packers are going to pick. At 26, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to pick. At 27, the Arizona Cardinals, via trade from the Houston Texans, are going to get the number 27th pick. And Buffalo will get the number 28th pick. And the rest of the draft will be decided as we go through the rest of these playoffs. Nothing, again, has really changed in terms of mock draft. They still believe that Caleb Williams will be taken number one overall to Chicago Bears, Drake May to the Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels to the New England Patriots, Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Arizona Cardinals, and Malik Nabers, wide receiver out of LSU, to the Los Angeles Chargers. And they have brought
another receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to say, fuck the Cardinals. They thought they were going to get a high draft pick from that Texans trade.
Yep.
No, that didn't work. It did not work.
Nope.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, yeah, but Malik Nabers being jumped up to five. The fact that last week when we had this discussion, Brock Bowers was scheduled to go 5 overall to L.A., but now they got him going 15th to Indianapolis now. So maybe there was some –
Combine hasn't even happened. They ain't been able to see these dudes do stats that don't matter.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what the whole point of this is. It's just a mock draft, so it changes pretty much. I mean, really, the top four have pretty much stayed consistently the same, pretty much.
Well, and you really can't pay attention to much of that, because if you look, C.J. Stroud failed the Wonderlic test, which is supposed to be the end-all, be-all of quarterback aptitude, and he clearly showed he was the best rookie quarterback in the draft.
The Wonderlic test, I don't understand the point of it. Like,
none of those tests, the combine doesn't even make sense. They do drills that don't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Like the cone drill and the, like, I mean, I don't know. Some I can understand, like, you know, the high jump.
40-yard dash
that makes sense. The bench press. Yeah. Like, I can see that, but, like, cone drills and what was that other bullshit? Like, I mean, there was a couple of ones. I can't think of them off the top of my head. But, yeah, I mean, really the 40-yard and the bench is really the only two things. Like, judge your speed, judge your strength.
Yeah, how fast are you? How strong are you?
Right.
And the vertical test, because how explosive are you? Vertical test.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's like, oh, well, what about what they do on the football field, you know? But that was the whole thing with Anthony Richardson. That's why his stock rose so much, was because he had a great combine day. Because before
he didn't play bad, though.
He didn't. No. That's not what I'm talking about.
A little bit of time he was – on the field, yeah. He didn't play bad. He's going to be good when he comes back.
his future isn't what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about before he got drafted in his combine numbers. Before his combine, they had him somewhere between 18 to 20. After his combine numbers, they had him in the top five. So, you know, you got to look at who looks at those combine numbers. It's the scouts, it's the coaches. And honestly, the best way you can actually tell if a player is going to be good or not is just watching film of them. You know, that's where the most of it needs to be decided on is what he's done on the field. You know,
what you need to do is scrimmages of 11v11s.
That's a good idea, I think. You know,
that's how you can really tell how they're going to play. Yeah. Play against the other guys in your draft class.
Hey, that, oh, wow. What would you call that, though? Would you call it like the draft bowl and the winning team? All those teams, everybody on that team has to get picked first.
No, and it's just a draft bowl, but you get to pick. Yeah. You see, if you see something you like in somebody, you get to pick them.
That's over 200 people, though. So,
well, yeah. So before we get into the championship round, I want to pose a question to you guys.
Go ahead.
This question was poised to me this morning. Do you think it would be a good idea to take the worst two teams in the NFL? Have them play the Thursday night before the Super Bowl. The winner of that game gets the number one overall pick.
Yes.
I'd rather do the lottery pick still. I'd rather it still be a lottery pick. The only fair way to make it, the first 10 teams have to be put in the bubble.
I kind of like both ideas, the draft and the thing. Because if you think about it, it was back in 1971 or 72 when the NBA – first introduced the draft lottery because who was it?
Cleveland was fucking tanking.
Yeah, Cleveland legitimately was tanking for two straight years to get the two best college players of the next two seasons. Yep. And they said, okay, we can't have this. You know, like there's literally been years where it's happened more often than not since 1973. But there have been times where the worst possible team doesn't get the first overall pick. You know, they legit tanked and that, who was it? Was it the Celtic? No, it wasn't Celtic. I'm sorry. It was shit. Who was it? I think it was the Knicks, I want to say. Who had the worst record? Yeah, no, what I'm saying, they had the worst record, and instead of getting the number one pick, I think they got the number three pick instead.
Yeah, I mean it was like
It was the year they took RJ Barrett.
No, I wasn't talking about that. It was the year that Kyrie Irving was drafted, the Cavs weren't even the worst. They apparently had the lowest percentage to get the number one pick, and they got the number one pick.
Which is crazy. So it was that draft. Yeah, you're right.
They got Anthony Bennett the year before, and then they got Kyrie Irving. And then they got LeBron 4 years later.
Right.
Well, LeBron back 4 years later. I don't want to say like, they drafted LeBron again.
Yeah.
Redraft LeBron. But, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I think like the two worst teams right now are obviously
the Cardinals and the Panthers.
By record, you would say the Cardinals and the
Bears probably.
I'm sorry. Not the Cardinals. The Panthers. The Panthers and the Commanders.
I thought the Bears. Which,
I think the Bears had a better record than the Commanders. I think they had a better record than the Patriots too. Yeah. Chicago won a couple of games late in the season.
Oh, yeah. They got seven wins. So, yeah. So, it's Carolina and Arizona.
Yeah. Carolina, Arizona will probably be it. You know, yeah, let them play, and then the winner gets the number one pick. See what happens. But yeah,
Arizona had four wins, and Carolina had two.
But
Commanders also had four.
Yeah. But with
Arizona, New England.
But with Carolina having having to give away their pick, one thing is like, you know what? Fuck you, Chicago. We're just going to let them win and get the number one pick. You know, like really fuck them over, you know? It's just an idea, I guess.
I'm saying the lottery will incentivize teams to not tank completely because they can't guarantee a high pick.
Right. Absolutely.
Yep.
It wouldn't be a bad idea either way. But we are actually going to be talking about just one more quick thing before we get to the conference championship games. Front runners right now. We're not going to do the entire NFL honors list. But
fucking sandwich looks delicious.
What are you watching?
Not a grilled, but a chicken fried chicken steak burger.
Where is that?
Sounds
I was good. On YouTube. I'm watching videos of food.
Golly.
A Philly style cheese. Is that what you do to make yourself?
Is that what you do Philly to make yourself hungry? You just watch shit.
I just will do it so I can watch cooking videos.
That's cool. All right, but yeah, but real quick before we get into the NFC, we're not going to go over the entire NFL honors list. We're not going to go over comeback player or anything like that, or the Don Shuler, you know, coach of the year, or anything like that, or assistant coach of the year. I'm sorry. We are going to go over just really five, which is the MVP, defensive player of the year, offensive player of the year, both rookies of the year, obviously, and we'll throw in coach of the year. The five nominees so far, according to Sportskeeda, is Kevin Stefanski, D'Amico Ryan, Shane Streisand, Dan Campbell, and John Harbaugh. Steichen. So I cannot say this motherfucker's last name. I'm sorry. Anyway.
You are adding letters to it, sir.
better than adding a question mark like that one video we did several years ago. But anyway. Who do you guys think is going to end up being coach of the year, you think?
We kind of had this conversation earlier off camera, but I think it comes down to D'Amico Ryans and Dan Campbell, because those two coaches turned their teams around, led them to the playoffs, and have both won playoff games.
Right.
D'Amico did it in his first year as a head coach. Now, Dan Campbell's been with the Lions for this is his third season, but he's really changed the culture there in Detroit, very similar to what D'Amico has done in Houston in 1 year. Yeah. I don't think Harbaugh should be considered for coach of the year because the Ravens were predicted to be a good team. Right. Stefanski, I give him kind of a pass because the Browns were predicted to be a good team. But they lost Deshaun Watson mid-season to a shoulder injury. Yeah, but they picked
the best quarterback out there.
But, yeah, and then they pick up Joe Flacco, who was literally sitting on his couch watching TV, and they give him a call. Like, hey, you want to come play for the Browns? He's like, sure, why not? You know, like,
ugh, I got to go to Cleveland. Ugh.
they wanted that.
Kurt Warner?
No. Well, the Kurt Warner story, yeah, but at the same time, I think they wanted the Joe Flacco revenge game in Baltimore. You know, I think that's kind of what they were hoping for, in a sense. Like
the Texans said, fuck all that noise.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, my personal opinion, I think it's down to D'Amico and Dan Campbell. And maybe my bias it says that it's D'Amico Ryans because he did more in 1 year. You know, making it to the taking a 3-win team to the playoffs and winning a wild card game.
Right.
So
is that your thought process as well, Raj?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, you know me, I've been for years talking about Dan Campbell and that culture and just changing the dynamic and everything in Detroit. But I mean, coming into your first year with a team pretty much not slated to be anything, bunch of rookies and like second year players everywhere, pretty much having to change everything up in the season and go from being bottom of the NFL to near the top of the NFL, winning divisions and playoff games and everything like this over here.
Exactly. I said at the beginning of the year, I thought that Dan Campbell was going to be coach of the year, and I'm reluctant to keep that statement only because of how great D'Amico Ryan has done. I think more than likely it probably will be D'Amico Ryan, but if Dan Campbell does get it, I'm not going to be affected by it one way or the other because I think they're both great coaches and both of them kind of deserve it. I don't think there's ever been a co-coach of the year, has there? If there hasn't, I mean, this could be a year to do it. I mean, both coaches did an amazing job of what they have.
My big question.
Go ahead.
Good.
I was just going to say, I think right now, if you were to ask me right now who coach of the year was, I would say D'Amico Ryan.
So my thing is does Dan Campbell and D'Amico Ryan's set a precedence, of how former players being viewed as coaches should be now, instead of bringing in an assistant coach from another guy? Why not just keep going for former players that you're going to give them the reins to do what they're supposed, what they want to do, instead of trying to, you know, hold them down the whole time. Because we've seen former players that have been head coaches that didn't do anything because the front office was trying to do all the stuff for them.
Yeah, well, look, look what Mike Vrabel did in Tennessee his first couple of years.
Yeah. But I'm saying, but he was also under the Belichick tree. I think Campbell was under Sean Payton maybe a year or two.
Yeah, and D'Amico was under the Shanahan tree.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying, and I agree. I think it should change the precedent of how former players are looked at as head coaches, and they should be given, you know, a little more leeway and not so handcuffed to what the front office says.
Yeah, because, I mean, like we said, Dan Campbell came into Detroit, a team that was nothing. Like, they were the worst team for years.
Right.
And changed the culture of being old style. They pretty much being what Detroit's known for, being gritty and rough. Like, all these other teams were trying to make them like everybody else, I guess, which, I mean, for a city like that, you don't want to do that. But also, maybe Dan Campbell being an old school grit veteran himself makes sense to do that. And the fact that Detroit front office sort of gave him the confidence and gave him the players and the ability to do with the players what he wanted, because they were letting him cut who he wanted to cut and bring in who he wanted to bring in too. Like, they gave him full fledged of his team, which is really unheard of to begin with. Right. And then pretty much the same with D'Amico. They've sort of not really held his hands while he's trying to coach. They've sort of let him do what he wants to do and pick the people he wants to pick, like, and bring in the free agents guys that he wanted to bring in. So, I mean, that's how it should be, but we know how front offices always want to be. So let former players who know the game, play the game, do what they're wanting to do.
Yeah.
Right. You guys talked about – go ahead, Chip.
Well, hold on. One thing, I do find it funny that the Detroit Lions in this century went 0-16 and still won a playoff game before the Cowboys.
Yes. Yep. Cuz fuck the Cowboys. But no, what I was going to say real quick is you talked earlier about the coaching tree that, you know, this guy was from the three most successful coaching trees are Bill Walsh, Marty Schottenheimer, and Bill Belichick.
Yeah, but Bill Belichick is the most successful
coach. Let me just one second. The Bill Belichick coaching tree is a far-reaching one. During Belichick's long tenure career as an NFL head coach, 17 assistant coaches under him have gone on to become head coaches in both the NFL and college. Then they sprouted their own trees, leading to over 100 total offshoots, which includes 12 current NFL head coaches. Like, I mean, you look at it, holy shit, this is just Bill Belichick's. Nick Saban, Mike Stoops, Josh McDaniel, Jimbo Fisher, Jason Garrett, Pat Schumer, Will Muschamp, Mike Mularkey, Brian Poland, Dan Quinn.
Mularkey.
Matt LaFleur, Mike McDaniel, Adam Gase, that bug-eyed motherfucker, Kirby Smart, Major Applewhite, that's his name, Freddie Kitchens, Joe Judge, Lane Kiffin, Hugh Jackson, I could keep going on and on.
The Belichick tree's only produced two championship coaches?
Well, let me go through and look real quick. I'm still trying to find it.
That sounds right. Saban and Smart.
No NFL coach that's been successful. Or a champion, sorry. They've been successful, just not a champion.
Yeah, just not a champion. Unless it was in a different role other than – definitely probably not. Joshua Daniels definitely didn't. Wasn't a good
one. Andy Reid came from the Parcells one, right? Or was it Walsh?
I'm fixing to look. Hang on a second.
I think it's the Bill Parcells.
No, it's not. It was Bill Walsh, and then Bill Walsh offshooted to Mike Holmgren, and then Mike Holmgren was Steve Mariucci, and then under Steve Mariucci was John Gruden, Dick Jargon, and Andy Reid.
Okay, that's what it was. The Parcells,
Walsh. The Walsh.
And then under Andy Reid was Mike Sherman, Marty Morton Wig, and Jim Zorn. Yeah, man. So when you think of Bill Walsh's tree, it's Dick LeBeau, Mike Mularkey, Mark Trestman, Mike Tice, Tony Dungy, Jeff Fisher, John Fox, Mike McCarthy, Sean Payton, John Harbaugh, Andy Reid. But then you go on to Marty Schottenheimer's, and he has Bill Cowher, and then Tony Dungy again, because obviously Tony Dungy was an assistant under Bill Walsh, but he was a offensive coordinator under Marty Schottenheimer, or something along those lines. And then also Herm Edwards was underneath him. Let's see who else? Todd Bowles, Tony Sparano, Hugh Jackson, Freddie Kitchens, Ken Wisenhunt was like one of the last ones under the Marty Schottenheimer tree. But yeah, let's see. Norv Turner also has.
I want to see that Bill Parcells tree.
I'm gonna look that up real quick while you're doing that.
While I'm doing what? I'm watching my Philly cheesesteak hot dogs being made over here.
Yeah,
and Philly, the Philly glizzies.
Well, while you're looking that up, I'm gonna move on. For NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, the front runners are Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Carter, Houston Texans, Will Anderson Jr., the Los Angeles Rams, Kobe Turner, Seattle Seahawks, Devin Witherspoon, and the Detroit Lions, Brian Branch. Roger, who do you think out of those five is, you know?
It's pretty much the same as the Coach of the Year, where it's a toss-up between Houston's personnel and Detroit's personnel. Branch did really good. He came out of nowhere for me, and you know I follow Detroit. I know their players and everything. He came out of nowhere for me. He did way better than I thought he was going to. But Will Anderson, you touted him coming in early season saying he's going to be possible Defensive Rookie of the Year as well. And there he is up there doing his thing. A really good young leader for that defensive back set. Bright future. Hopefully he doesn't get too much of a diva mindset. But no, I think slight edge overall, I'll still have to give it to Will Anderson. Because yet again, the expectations for the Texans was such low standard. And for them to shoot up so high, it's hard not to say that these changes – is the effect overall, and these key players that they got is not also the reason why. Because, I mean, you got the head coach who instilled that nature in there, and he had these young guys to pretty much mold to the system. And Will Anderson sort of – I don't know if he's a true defensive leader yet, but he's probably the defensive back leader. And, I mean, that's just a great thing. Branch, like I said, came out of nowhere for me for Detroit. He did really good overall, but you're also on that Detroit line led by – or the Detroit front seven led by Aiden Hutchinson. It's hard for you to stand out in a situation with that guy being in front of you.
I agree. What say you, Talon?
I'm sorry. I was still looking up the Parcells tree. What was the question?
A defensive player, rookie of the year.
Defensive rookie of the year?
Yeah. Jalen Carter from the Eagles, Will Anderson Jr. from the Texans, Kobe Turner from the Rams, Devin Witherspoon from the Seahawks, and Brian Branch from the Lions.
To me, it's a toss-up between Brian Branch and Will Anderson. Branch was the one who made that game-saving interception in the divisional game this past weekend. But Will Anderson was a beast all year. Man, it to me, honestly, that's 50-50. I mean, Will Anderson, you know, was very, very dominant. Like, we all knew that he was going to be being a top five pick in the draft. And Branch just kind of came out of nowhere, though, really. Like, we didn't have that much expectation of him. And then he turned it on when it was time to turn it on. I don't know if maybe playing the last couple of weeks or maybe these playoff games gives him a little bit of an extra push for some of the voters. That might be where they lean. But if you're asking me personally, I'd probably say Will Anderson's probably Defensive Rookie of the Year. Real quick, before you ask the next question, I looked up the Bill Parcells coaching tree. Now, before Bill Parcells was the head coach, he served as an assistant to Ron Ehrenhart and to Ray Perkins. And underneath Bill Parcells was Bill Belichick, Romeo Crennel, Ray Hanley, Tom Coughlin, Al Craw, I want to say that's how it's pronounced, Chris Palmer, Todd Haley, Eric Mangini, Sean Payton, Tony Sperano, Mike Zimmer, Anthony Lynn, Todd Bowles, and Freddie Kitchens.
So probably the best trio of them all.
Yeah, because you had Bill Belichick, who won a championship, Romeo Crennel, who won a title. Yeah, Tom Coughlin won a title with the Giants, and, you know, Sean Payton won a championship. Yeah, two titles with the Giants. I forget that he was the coach for the 2011 season. I thought it was somebody else. Sean Payton obviously won a championship in New Orleans.
Next year was Denver.
Yep. Yeah. And that happened. So anyway, so that's the Bill Parcells tree. Offensive rookie of the year. Go ahead.
All right. So offensive rookie of the year, the front runners are CJ Stroud for the Houston Texans, Puka Nacua for the LA Rams, Zay Flowers for the Baltimore Ravens, Sam LaPorta from the Detroit Lions, and Jahmyr Gibbs also from the Detroit Lions. I do find it ironic that the Lions have two rookies in the front running in the top five. I personally don't think Jahmyr Gibbs should be on this list. When we're looking at, if we're looking at running backs to put on this list, because David Montgomery did more for Detroit than Jahmyr Gibbs, in my opinion. I think this comes down to CJ Stroud and Puka Nacua. For me, my biases is going to say CJ Stroud all day, but I can't bat an eye at what Puka Nacua did for the Rams as a rookie receiver.
I think Puka Nacua had, I think all signs, here's the thing, both Puka Nacua and CJ Stroud, nobody saw these guys playing how they were playing. Like, both of these guys are playing like they've been in the league for 5-6 years now. Like, CJ Stroud has literally quarterbacked a team in his first year with a rookie head coach and led them to the playoffs. I look over at Puka Nacua and he breaks the NFL rookie receiving record his first year. I mean, it's like, golly, who do you really, you know, vote for at this point?
Sam LaPorta broke the tight end rookie record.
LaPorta broke the tight end rookie record. I was going to get there. Let me get to it.
But earlier off screen, but off recording, you actually asked who I'd put over Jahmyr Gibbs. It'd be Jordan Addison from the Vikings.
Yeah, Jordan. Yeah. I would say, yeah. Especially,
he took over for Justin Jefferson.
So, oh yeah, he did a really, really, really good job taking over for Jetta when he was out for those. I don't think people thought he was going to come back. I mean, I don't think he came back prematurely, but you know,
I think he did.
You think he did?
He got hurt. He got hurt right away.
Yeah, because week one, and he came back in what, week 7, 8.
Yeah, and then he was hurt right away.
Right away again. Yeah, but no. If you had to give me my vote right now, I'd probably say CJ Stroud. It's probably
it has to be CJ Stroud. There's no way you can put. Yes, what Puka Nacua did was amazing and everything like that, but he didn't lead a team that had no expectations.
Well. Correct. And the one thing that put CJ Stroud over for me is he led all quarterbacks in passing yards per game throughout the season. Not just rookies, all quarterbacks.
I mean, that's an exaggeration. For about 70% of the season, he was leading quarterbacks in general.
Yeah.
In almost everything.
Dude, I mean, if I'm being honest, there was a couple of weeks where I looked there and said,
he should have been the MVP.
Yep. Yeah, he could be the MVP, you know? He was up there with guys like Dak and, at the time, Tua. That's when Tua was playing his ass off. But at the same time, we were also talking about skill players possibly getting in that conversation, too, with Tyreek Hill and Christian McCaffrey, you know? And this, you know, but then Lamar Jackson just comes along and just blows everybody out of the water with how great he has been as a quarterback.
I think quarterbacky. Yes. I think had CJ Stroud not missed those two games with in concussion protocol,
he would have been MVP.
He would have been, if not MVP, he would have been on the list.
Yeah, he would have been in the discussion
for nominees. Yes. So real quick, defensive player of the year. the top five candidates are Cleveland Browns, Myles Garrett, Dallas Cowboys, Micah Parsons, Pittsburgh Steelers, TJ Watt, the Vegas Raiders, Max Crosby, and the 49ers, Nick Bosa. I mean, that's a really good top five of defensive players.
I mean, for most of the year, it was Myles Garrett that everyone's saying. And then it wasn't until about midseason and later on that TJ really started ramping it up. And Max Crosby, especially after Antonio Pierce took over as head coach, really started amping shit up. And, you know, Micah Parsons, I mean, he was still, you know, doing good as that defense, you know, leading the Cowboys and such. Excuse me. And Nick Bosa, I mean, he is the reigning defending defensive player of the year. And he just basically, I think for Nick Bosa, it was almost like it was a day at the office because he has so many other great defensive players around him. It just makes his job easier. You know what I mean? Like these, especially with the trade for Chase Young, getting Chase Young on that line now and as an edge rusher, not to mention Fred Warren still being there. And just, you know, I don't know. I want to say I'm at a toss right now. I don't know if it'll be Myles Garrett or it'll be Nick Bosa, but I'm leaning more toward Nick Bosa. But TJ Watt has a shot too, so I don't know where to go. Where are you guys going?
I'm going Aiden Hutchinson, who got disrespected again.
Aiden Hutchinson gets disrespected. But from these five, I'm going to have to go with Myles Garrett.
Yeah, it's Myles Garrett.
Yeah, I think he was head and shoulders above everybody else for the majority of the season.
Let me double check his stats real quick.
I don't know. I think it's going to be close. It's either going to be. I think it's going to be either Myles Garrett or Nick Bosa. I think it's one or two. I think.
So Myles Garrett was seventh in sack, fourth and or tied for fifth. I mean for forced fumbles. We'll see what Bosa did. But then again, stats don't matter in this voting system anymore anyways.
That's true. Yeah. If that was the case, then, you know.
Yeah, Myles Garrett is just above him in a few categories. So, yeah, it has to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And the last one we'll talk about real quick is the NFL MVP award. Now, this is the most valuable player. We have kind of dubbed it the quarterback award. Because it seems to always go to a quarterback. And in instances where the quarterback is not actually the most valuable player to the team. But the five favorites for this year's award are the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott, 49ers, Brock Purdy, the Bills, Josh Allen, and 49ers again, in Christian McCaffrey. Roger, I'll let you take this one first.
Well, until about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was still touting Christian McCaffrey because skill player and pretty much proves that without him in the offense, the 49ers don't generate much of anything going. But at this point, Lamar Jackson, I think it's already heads above everybody else, to be honest. They finally got him some receivers that are dependable enough for him to actually throw out to. They actually helped him with the two running backs staying sort of healthy enough to actually help with chip blocks and play action ability. And I mean, Lamar's, everybody, like, we always talk about how he's a running back first, quarterback second, but he is a quarterback. He has great mobility, which makes him such a horrible, horrible matchup. And this year, he actually stayed in the pocket a lot instead of forcing the run.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think this year he became more of a quarterback, less of a running back. And I would like to see him progress even further into the quarterback, the pocket passing quarterback, and use his legs when he has to, because they do have some serviceable running backs there now. Exactly.
Yeah.
I have to say that Lamar Jackson is for me, if we're looking at these five, he is the MVP of the NFL.
I agree. I think it's going to be Lamar Jackson as well.
I do feel kind of dumb that they didn't put CJ Stroud up there. Just give him a nomination.
Yeah. It didn't have it on this particular one, but they always have offensive player of the year as well. It's normally the player that's more of the skill player. Your running backs, your wide receivers, and Christian stuff like McCaffrey. That.
Yeah.
Would you go Christian McCaffrey? Would you not go Tyreek? Would you not go even Raheem Mostert? He led the league in rushing touchdowns this year.
Okay, but Christian McCaffrey caught and ran.
Yeah, and even when Mostert wasn't on the field, they were still able to produce with A-Chain. When Tyreek was hurt, they were still able to produce with Jalen Waddle. For the 49ers, when McCaffrey wasn't on the field,
they lost those three games.
they lost games. So,
okay, I'll give you that one.
And that's not taking anything away from Mostert or Hill. It's just, you know,
right.
Where
Devon A-Chain wasn't as injured, he might actually get Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, yeah, definitely his injuries definitely.
The injuries definitely hit him back because he was the number one running back for the first quarter of the season.
Yeah. I mean, my God. I mean, the game hit the breakout game he had. Sorry, Roger, but the breakout game he had was that week three 70-20 game against the Broncos where he literally ran everywhere, breaking off a 64-yarder here, a 52-yarder there, and it's like, damn.
Beating the worst team at the time is not impressive. Everybody's talking about Joel Embiid's 70-point game he had yesterday. Who the fuck cares? He beat a team that has like four wins.
I mean, that sorry team that you're talking about.
Is my sorry-ass team, yes.
It almost made the – I mean, hell, they were close to making a playoff.
No, they weren't.
They had – granted, other shit had to happen for them to make the playoffs.
No, they weren't. Don't say
I'm trying to give you. I'm trying to give you hope for next year. You won't have Russell Wilson next year, so you'll be fine.
So less hope. Less hope, actually.
Hey, Cowboys country – or what was it? Broncos country.
Let's die.
All right. Moving on, we'll go to our championship round. We got two games to talk about. The first game, we got the Chiefs versus the Ravens.
Well, we all know Chip's not watching this one.
I might watch this one to see Lamar put that ass whooping on the Chiefs. Right. But Baltimore is a 3.5-point favorite. This will be actually played in Baltimore. And I'm going Ravens here.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, I'm going Ravens.
I already said mine earlier. So.
Yeah, I'm going Ravens. According to NFL.com poll, it's 67-33 Baltimore to win this. So, you know, there's a lot of people who have the same mindset that I do. I'm sick of the fucking Kansas City Chiefs and I want something new. This is going to be a style between two good defenses. I'm not going to shit on the Kansas City defense because the defense has been a very important element to their team this year.
They only step up in the playoffs. It's so weird. They're mediocre throughout the season and then step up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right. But you look at Baltimore and what Baltimore is able to do defensively, and I think they got better playmakers than Kansas City does. I mean, you look over there, they got Marlon Humphreys, they got Patrick Queen, they got Marcus Williams. You know, they got a plethora of good players on that side.
Zay Flowers.
Zay Flowers is on the offense.
You're talking about defense, okay.
Yeah, I was talking about just the defense. Now offensively, I can say I think Baltimore has better receivers. I think that, you know,
receivers, they have
Zay Flowers, despite what you think about Odell Beckham, he might be overrated, but he can still fucking catch when he needs to. You know, I don't like Nohans Aguilar, but he can make a catch when he needs to, you know. And then you also have, you know, Rashad Bateman is still there making plays and stuff. And then you look over at Kansas City, other than Rashid Rice, you know, Rashid Rice and Travis Kelce. I mean, that's pretty much it. You know, that's all they got.
See, I was going to be with you when you said Zay Flowers. Like, yeah. Then you could have said Andrews if he's not hurt.
Isaiah Likely has been, Isaiah Likely stepped up big when Mark Andrews went down.
That's what I'm saying. So if those three are playing, then yes, they have better receivers. But you named a man, you named a one-legged pirate out there stealing Baltimore's money, and then a man that pretty much has no hands. I don't know what he'd be doing out there. He's flocking his wings out there, I guess.
Hey, I was just as surprised as you to find out that he had a touchdown last week. Believe me, I know. But I'm just saying, there's a possibility, you know. But if, in all honesty, Lamar Jackson's probably going to depend on his arm and his legs in this game. I think he has to be almost that dual threat to throw the defense off balance. So then they will never know what's going to happen.
I think Andy Reid's play style for this game is more of a man zone for the up for the front seven, and a man to man on the back end.
You wouldn't do cover two on the back end?
Making Beckham and Aguilar actually have to get off their players?
Yeah, good point.
Yep. And when you do zone in the middle, it sort of lessens Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely's overall impact because they have to get in a dead spot. And Kansas City's defense actually, like I said, plays in the playoffs, so they're going to be there swarming.
And Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and the Chiefs proved that they could win away from Arrowhead.
Referees definitely helped that out.
Hey, I'm just saying. But nevertheless.
Chad is also going to go with the Ravens here. And then our other championship game, we got the Detroit Lions versus the San Francisco 49ers. This will be played in San Francisco at Levi's Stadium, where the 49ers are a 7-point favorite.
Too high.
To win much. This game, with the over-under being 50.5.
No, this is a game that's going to expose Detroit's lackluster defense overall. Like I said, that front seven is really dangerous, but that back end, the back end is not really going to be able to compete. Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle are going to be getting catches everywhere.
Yeah, well, and you think that just remember that Brock Purdy lives in that intermediate area of the field, and that's where Detroit struggles the most, is in that intermediate area of the field.
Yeah, almost like that dead zone in between the secondary and the linebackers in that area.
I'm still going Lions, baby. I just want the upset at this point.
Here's the thing. I'm going to call, just for the sake of the fucking point, I want Detroit to win, but I got a feeling San Francisco's going to do it.
Oh, I have a feeling San Francisco's going to win, but I'm still going Detroit.
I'm going, fuck it, I'll go Detroit too. I don't care if I get it wrong.
Get out of here.
This is my area. So you're the only one that can pick Detroit?
Yes. I've done it for two seasons.
Bullshit.
Hey, hold on. Time out. Because Chad actually picked Detroit.
Oh, what the
fuck? No, the fuck he did not. No, he didn't.
Get out of here.
I'll be the odd man out. I'm going with the 49ers here.
Go ahead, Tom. Flip over. You can be the outlier, too.
No. I still think that the 49ers are probably going to win, but I don't want it to happen. I figured I can speak it into existence. Let Detroit win. You know what I mean?
Oh, but, here's the thing. I want Detroit to win, but I think the 49ers are going to win.
Yeah.
We're all in the same boat. We all know it's the San Francisco game, but we all want the Lions to win. And I think it's going to be the Lions. Just think about that fucking story. They actually make it to the Super Bowl.
That would be, oh my God. No, wait a second. Hold on. I was thinking about this too.
Time out.
What if Kansas City wins and Detroit wins? Then you have the reigning defending Super Bowl champions returning to the Super Bowl. And then you have the Detroit Lions. Dude, this is biblical. This is David versus Goliath in a sense. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know about all that.
I can't make.
I think that's a little exaggeration.
Y'all never laugh at my jokes.
Because the Lions,
I'm laughing at it now.
Don't they have the same record?
What are you talking about?
Don't the Lions and the Chiefs have the same record?
The Lions are 12-5, and the Chiefs are 11-6.
Oh, 11-6. Oh.
Detroit actually has a better record.
Wow. I thought he had the same.
So here's the thing. If Detroit wins and goes to the Super Bowl, I feel sorry for that city because they're going to burn that son of a bitch to the ground. We just now got
our economy fixed and you're fucking it up again, people. What's wrong with you?
Our economy's fixed.
Well, better.
Better. Our economy ain't going to be fixed for another 9 years.
Yeah, I don't know what economy you're living in.
I don't know.
The economy I'm living in is terrible.
I was trying to make a joke out of it. Sorry.
I get you.
Oh, Lord.
So, that's been it.
All right. Well, real quick question before we get out of here. Okay. Just hypothetically speaking, if it's Baltimore, Detroit, who wins?
I don't give a damn. I'm still going Lions.
Okay. If it's Baltimore 49ers, who wins?
Baltimore.
Ravens.
Okay. If it's Kansas.
Here's the thing.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to think of like the four possible scenarios that it could happen, and then who would win from those scenarios.
If the Lions are in the Super Bowl, I'm going Lions no matter what. Don't care who's on the other end.
Here's the thing. If the Chiefs somehow beat the Ravens and the Lions somehow beat the 49ers, the Lions are going to win the Super Bowl.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes, absolutely.
Think about that. The first game of the season, last game of the season, Detroit and Kansas City, and Detroit wins both of them.
That's the perfect game. Yeah, I think so.
You start the season how you finish. You finish the season how you start.
Yeah.
And they beat them in Arrowhead, and now it's in a neutral site. So, you know.
Yeah. Where is it this year?
It's in Vegas.
Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So ultimately, I feel like the Ravens, and we'll talk about this later. Ultimately, I feel like the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Ravens, honestly, in my opinion. But
overall.
Yeah,
but if Detroit is in the Super Bowl, I don't give a damn who it is.
If Detroit is in the Super Bowl, I'm riding that wave till the end.
Absolutely. They're going to bump Lose Yourself throughout the whole stadium. It's going to be great.
Now they're going to put some Machine Gun Kelly because it's his city now.
No, but Detroit?
Yeah, you ain't see? He's in the D now. Ain't see what?
The video I sent.
He's in the D now.
Yeah, he's in the D Grizzly. It's his city.
I bet he's in the D. No. Oh. MGK still talking shit?
Bro, I sent a video.
No, I seen the thing about T Grizzly. I didn't see the thing about MGK. I saw what y'all posted about T Grizzly.
You said the thing about T Grizzly.
I seen you guys talking about T Grizzly, but I missed the whole MGK conversation.
Yeah, it was a video.
It was the video of him dissing.
He made another slight diss track towards Eminem again.
Fucking idiot. No, but then that's when
he's in Detroit now. It's his city.
Oh, God in hell. Yeah. MGK, stop, dude. I don't know if you'll ever listen to this, dude. Just fucking stop, okay? Just stop.
Go back to making emo music.
Yes.
Hey, he going to be making country after the next round.
What the fuck?
Cowboy boots and bears, like
Kid Rock will get them.
All right,
yeah, that's definitely.
But anyway, that's been our championship round picks. Let us know in the comments below. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Send us a
DM.
Twitter, fucking Twitter,
Twix.
It's still Twitter.
Twix. They can call it Twix.
Yeah.
That's not been
two for me, none for you.
When you go to the website, you still got to type in twitter.com. So it's still
it's the social media platform with the blue bird. That's all you got to look for.
Is it still just actual twitter.com? Yeah, they probably can't put x.com.
That could be something different.
Yep. Send us a DM. Let us know what you think. Who do you think is going to win between the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Lions and the 49ers? We'd love to hear from you. Also, you know, send us, you know, any other thing you want to talk about. We check all of our messages. We respond to all of our messages.
Don't come with no disrespect neither.
Come with the disrespect.
Come to Jason. Say it with your chest because these hands will say it for you.
Yeah, if you come with disrespect, you better say it with your chest.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. Approach with caution. I'm just saying.
Let them find out. Fuck around, find out. Right? Remember that chart? All right.
Yep.
Level fuck out.
I got the shirt. I got that shirt in the closet. What are you talking about?
All I'm saying is, you come at us with some disrespect, you'll be dipping your Oreos in water.
Yeah, because your daddy ain't coming. You player two ass motherfucker.
Oh, Luigi ass. All right, but yes, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just saying that's why women get hit sometimes. I'm saying. Call me a player two.
Movement Radio does not condone domestic violence in any way, shape, or form.
We do condone,
but know when to shut the fuck up. Anyway. Oh.
Yeah.
That was a joke, ladies and gentlemen.
No, fuck.
They don't laugh at my jokes. It's fine.
We're going to find out.
Yeah, there you go. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for tuning in tonight. Obviously, go check out streamlabs.com/movementradio/merch and go copy some merch. We got some cool merch ideas coming down the line. Just looking forward to a great 2024. Roger, anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
Just be on alert for our new podcast format that we're trying out to see how it's going. Go to our socials, like Chip was saying earlier. We'll be posting questions of the day, or you guys can post questions of the day, or tell us a story, or some kind of dilemma. You know, anything you say to us is anonymous unless you want to be mentioned. But, you know, just keep reaching out, talk to us. You know, we here for y'all. We here for the people.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So until next time, thank you guys for watching. Are you ready for some football? Be back here next week where we're going to discuss the championship week and give our opinion on who we think, because by this time next week, the nominees should be ready for the NFL honors. And then we'll discuss that, possibly some Pro Bowl shit. Who knows? But we are going to be. It's what they play on Madden.
Flag football now. Yeah.
So they officially made it flag football.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is actual flag football.
No, it is.
The way the league's going, that's probably what it's going to be in about 5 years.
That's because people aren't realizing it, but we're practicing for when the Olympics put flag football in a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. God.
We'll be ready.
Dude.
Fuck around, find out for real at that point.
Who the fuck are they going to get to beat? Who?
Hey, other countries think they're ready for that flag football. Put Tyreek Hill at that. Who guarded him on that flag football field?
The only possible way any other country in the world can compete with America in flag football, you would have to basically take a shit ton of rugby players and teach them American football, basically.
No, they don't want to do that. They don't want to play with pads. Well, it's flag football, so it won't be pads.
That's what I'm saying, though. I mean.
But then you got to teach one of them to literally go against his mechanics and throw the ball forward instead of backwards.
Yep.
That would be hilarious. But yes, anyway, thank you guys for tuning in tonight. We appreciate you guys. Again, leave us a comment, subscribe, click that bell to get notified of our latest videos also. And once again, as always, thanks for watching. I'm Talon Williams.
I'm Chip Hazard.
I'm still hungry.
And this is Movement Radio.
God's plan.